Welcome to today's podcast discussion on ISO certifications. This is a series of podcasts where we will interview folks from multiple certifying bodies and some of our very own ILTA members who carry those certifications. I'm Dan Notke with Kirkland & Ellis, and I will be the moderator for today's discussion. We are very pleased today to have with us Tony Cadero from White & Case. Welcome, Tony. Can you provide our listeners a little information about you and White & Case?
Sure. Thank you, Dan. And pleasure to be on the call today. White & Case is a large multinational, multidiscipline practice that spans over 36 countries and practice every kind of law in every jurisdiction. I joined the firm about 7 years ago and had previously joined the law discipline in 2001. So I'm happy to be here and look forward to the discussion.
Great. Sounds good. So when did White & Case become ISO certified?
Well, we achieved our initial certification back in December of 2010. And I think at that time, there was only one or two other firms that were ISO certified. But over the years, we've expanded and upgraded our certification. And most recently, in December 2014, now include the new ISO 2013 standard across multiple asset classes. So it's been a number of years now and enjoy being able to tout that with our clients.
That's great. And, you know, glad to have one of the first ones out there. What drove the decision and how was that decision made to become ISO certified?
Well, you know, when I joined the firm, as many folks do, and they start looking around and seeing what we can do, what's in progress, I was pleased to see that there was a very healthy attitude towards information security back then. Seems like a short time ago, but in our years, it's quite some time. And really asked the question or started to ask the question around how we were handling our clients' data. This was right on the cusp, I think, when many of our regulated industry clients were asking us about how we were doing that. And it really earned an early thought about, well, how can we position ourselves in the vertical appropriately so that when clients do ask that we have good intelligent answers. And so really, as we looked into this, discovered the certification and a few of the others and decided to go forward with the ISO. And in doing so, realized that there are a number of things that we needed to do and establish internally, even though we thought we had a lot of it covered. And I have to say, it's really served us well, not just in terms of our being able to represent to our clients how we handle their data, but also how we handle internal data a lot better than we used to.
Gotcha. So when you decided to do this, did you use a vendor or consultant to obtain your certification, and what role did they play?
Well, yes and no. I'll start with the no. We thought that we could do this ourselves and went down the path of trying to get it done off the corner of a desk. And if there's one piece of advice I can give to folks is it's always wise to sort of step back and talk to folks who have done this before. So that would be my suggestion. The yes part to this is that we did decide to engage a third party who actually stepped us through the process, what we had to consider if we were going to cover this particular asset class. And by that, I mean whether it was email or remote access, and there are several to choose from, and what we would need to cover within the context of that asset class, and then establish a number of different procedures and policies and protocols. Quite honestly, had we not had that vendor guide us through that process, it would have taken us a lot longer. Probably spent about 6 months, 7 months doing it ourselves, and then once we got the vendor engaged, things went a lot quicker.
Gotcha. And so you've mentioned asset classes a couple of times. So are you protecting all assets now, or where did you start to look at which assets to go after first?
Well, truth be told, when you go down this path, asset classes aren't necessarily something that springs to mind, but you learn very quickly that these areas, if you will, that I refer to as asset classes are quite important. These are the areas in which client data sits. So while I think many of us would love to say that all of our client data is sitting squarely away in our document management systems, we recognize that a lot of that is also sitting in email. And so, you know, two of the key asset classes that we've got covered are document management and email. And then when you sort of expand that thinking to, well, where else could it be and where else is it and how do people get access to it, other asset classes like remote access, mobility, how we do our backups, et cetera, are other ones that we have added along the way. There are others, and I encourage anyone, as you think about this, you know, bite off what you can chew. If you try to do it all at once, it's a very involved process. And so maybe one or two asset classes to start with is probably a good approach.
Gotcha. So you talked about trying to do this yourself first. So you must have had a lot of data in that and been prepared for when the consultant came in.
Yeah. So, you know, in terms of what we have to do first, while there was, you know, I think we all have this, which is, you know, we have processes and procedures around how we manage our DMS and our messaging systems and so forth. Mm-hmm. But what this affords you to do is be able to sort of look at it from a risk-based standpoint and saying, all right, well, compared to the ISO standard, what do we have and what don't we have? Do we have this type of protocol, this type of working process? How often do we do a purge? How often do we take a look at what needs to be deleted and do those sorts of things and really write that down? I mean, that's a big part of this. And then comparing with what we have with what the standard requires is really where the consultant sort of helped us synthesize, if you will, the approach to what we needed to do. Doing a mapping of those procedures and policies that we had to the ISO controls were important, and then engaging with management. So, you know, it's also important, this isn't just about the technology, but also the system, if you will, the information security management system, or IFMS as we call it, and I think ISO calls it, is really the thing you establish, which is this collection of processes, procedures, and practices around these asset classes, and getting all of the well-documented, well-understood. And, you know, this, all of this is audited, so it needs to be something that can be verified and checked by a third party. And so putting all that together and getting the prep done prior to the consulting, the consultant sort of really engaging with us was what we were struggling with, and so, and they made it a lot easier for us.
Gotcha. You mentioned risk management. Who in the firm was really involved in the process of getting certified? Was this more of an IT effort or IT and risk or all groups? Or maybe you want to talk about who you had at the table.
Sure. When the ISO auditor, and these are third-party groups that do audits on behalf of the standards organization, come in, they like to talk to a cross-section of people. Primarily, it's going to be with the technology folks, and those folks consist of, you know, security, operations, those folks that handle these assets, if you will, on a regular basis. But also, it's a discussion of, you know, the extension of those people. We have our HR folks that do participate in part of the audit, and our records management folks as well. I also mentioned risk management. That's sort of the name for our general counsel's office. So there is a session with our general counsel just talking about risk in general and how this pertains to that. So that's sort of the collection, if you will, of the people who are involved in that audit process. And while there's consultation with them along the way in terms of prepping for that, they're the ones who are most active when it comes to audit time.
So one of the questions I always get asked, and maybe can ask you this, is how often do attorneys get involved in this ISO 27001, or what's your average attorney's take on this, getting this certification?
Well, it's a good question, because initially it takes little time for the attorneys to actually participate in getting the certification. But it's one of those things that I've found, at least, that we've been able to get a lot of mileage out. So at every opportunity when I'm standing in front of a room full of attorneys, or on the call with attorneys, get the opportunity to comment on what's going on in IT, I always mention this because it's something that they should at least have in the back of their minds, that when they're talking with clients, especially around security and how we handle that, to know that we've got a certification that it usually is the start of a discussion around security, but can really be a good bridge for them, and just to have them be at least conversation literate, and really perhaps no more than just knowing the fact that we have the certification is a great start. So that's usually how they're engaged.
So from when you started the ISO certification process, I guess with the consultant, until you obtain your certification, how long was that? And then how much time would you say it takes to keep your ISO certification, if that is even a valid question?
Yeah, no, I'll take a crack at it. You know, we started down this path of we can do it, which probably was about a six-month effort to try and do that gap analysis and mapping I talked about earlier. And then when we recognized that we needed assistance, and we had some false starts, if you will, that was probably about a six to eight-month period, and then got the consultant involved, and then it was probably about 6 months at that point. I would say if we had to do this over again, the best answer to that question is about 6 to 8 months, depending on the state of affairs. If you're going to do one or two asset classes, it might be a bit less. If you're going to do a lot of asset classes, it's probably going to be a bit more.
Gotcha. And then to ongoing, how much time would you say, well, what you as the CIO, how much time do you spend and how much time do you think the organization spends maintaining certification?
Since we've slowly added classes over the years, we probably spend a total of about, 200 or so hours maintaining what we have and then adding those classes. I expect when we get into full maintenance mode, and I guess one could argue when that really comes, something south of that, maybe about 100 hours a year. So that's spread across multiple people too, Dan. So it's not all falling to one individual. Personally, I probably spend between 10 and 20 hours on this, either talking to attorneys or alternatively participating in the audit and the questionnaires that come up as a result.
All right, interesting. What out of this entire process and being certified was a surprise to you or really gave you an opportunity to say, I really have to focus here?
Well, aside from the aha moment when we realized we needed help and we just couldn't get this done ourselves, I would have to say the best benefit, if you will, of having gone through this process is being able to talk intelligently about, what data security is and why it's important and why we think it's important. And as I'm sure many of our colleagues have faced, Dan, as and when our clients come to us and ask us lots of questions around security, it's a great place to start. So I have to say that, in fact, just this week, we had a large corporate who wanted to sit down and talk to us about security, and it literally stopped and started with, great, we just need a copy of your ISO certification and we're good to go. So I have to say, and that mitigates hours and hours of back and forth on questionnaires. So that's a good feeling when you have that opportunity to do that.
Yeah, that is great. So coming to a close here, Tony, could you just hit the highlights? If you were to start ISO 27001 certification today at another firm, what are the three things you would tell people to do?
Well, first and foremost, I'd call the consulting firm that helped me get started. That would be step number one. Number two is to ensure that we've got the right collection of people who are ready to engage. Doesn't make sense starting down a particular path with an asset class if that team is completely tapped out and has no bandwidth to interact. So you've got to do them a service and ensure that you've got the requisite horsepower to keep the trains running and also focus on this. And then thirdly is, while there are a number of certification groups that do this, it's determine who you're going to be working with and where they might need to be, and that might determine which certification group you then use, depending if you've got footprints like White & Case and like your firm at Kirkland, you've got options in terms of who you can use to certify, whereas other firms may need just to think about who they use.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much to Tony Cordero of White & Case. This has been an incredibly valuable discussion for me, and I'm sure it's been helpful to our audience members interested in understanding the ISO certifications and how those certifications can benefit either them or their team. Tony, really appreciate your time today. To our listeners, please stay tuned for more podcasts in this series, and please review the additional resources posted with today's recording. Thank you for joining us today. I encourage you to continue the conversation on ILTA's Connected Communities. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Dan.